Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Back at you. I'm grabbing my Bible and a bulletin. I'm hoping that you brought your Bible. If you didn't, we're going to power up the lights, and you just raise your hand. We'll make sure we get a Bible in your hand. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. This is our time that we get into the Word, and this is actually Mission Sunday here at Hope Chapel, and we'll have a brief missions report from a couple of outstanding missionaries, and I know you'll enjoy that as well. But we've been in our summer series. That summer series is really the Beatitudes, but it's entitled, really, Entering into the Kingdom and utilizing what Jesus has to say using the Sermon on the Mount and how he's addressing a large group of people right there. We call it the Beatitudes that we're studying. And with that, it's interesting the attitudes that Jesus is addressing. Now, those Beatitudes, we've come to understand that it's more of a proclamation, because not only is it the Sermon on the Mount, it should be the sermon from the monarch, because Jesus is a king. He has a kingdom. These are really those elements that he's proclaiming. These are proclamations. These are not just kind of, I hope you feel this way, blessed are those who, and he goes on to that. But it is called the Beatitudes. So I find it interesting that the first message Jesus delivers to his disciples, his following, and it's a large crowd, is that he's addressing attitudes. He didn't bring up how to pray for the sick or how to do miracles. He was addressing attitudes. How important that is for us with regards to just life's journey, is it? With regards to just who and how we function in society. Someone once said that our life consists of 10% of what happens to us, but 90% of how we respond to what happens to us. In other words, how you will take those moments in your life, and will it help an environment where you gain friendships, where you gain favor with people as well? Or will you allow unforgiveness and bitterness to reside and maybe cause disruption within the home? So the Beatitudes and what Jesus is addressing. I remember a while back when our first pastorate in Banning, I just thought, man, I'm speaking on the Beatitudes. This is great. We all need attitude adjustment here in the church. And my children were much smaller then, but my oldest daughter, about 9, her name's Emily. And we just got home, and there's Emily just terrorizing her brother and sister. And I thought, man, she just heard about the Beatitudes. I decided to take Emily, which is my heart said, get on a child's level, get on my knees right there, and honey, come here. Emily, you know this is not right to do what you're doing to your brother Luke or to your sister Holly, and that Jesus wants us to have a better attitude. You are aware of this, are you not? Is there anything you think that you could do better? Well, Dad, I'll try better for God. Do you have any other questions, Emily? And she said, well, Dad, I do. What's that, sweetie? And I just brought her even closer together. Man, this is what a dad always desires. She said, well, Dad, next time we have a talk like this, do you think you could brush your teeth? What? I lost my attitude. Totally. I said, you didn't hear anything I just said, did you? So it's amazing how just attitudes, not so much what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us. I've opened my Bible to Matthew chapter 5. It is a lengthy message that he's bringing there, but we're starting with the first few verses, and we're on our third message of what we're entitled today is Humility, the Key to Our Inheritance. opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when we were together, we addressed the aspect of blessed are the poor, not just abject poverty, but making sure that we've cleaned out the resources of our own life so that the kingdom can come on in. Sometimes we're so cluttered with things, man, God would like to pour some good stuff in, but we're just too preoccupied. Blessed are those who mourn. Man, it was a tremendous Sunday last Sunday, how so many of you responded that mourning over sin. The fact being that, man, as we are mourning over things that we recognize we could have definitely done better, how that God comforts those who mourn. Man, it was very powerful. And what we know about the Beatitudes, that these are progressional, that one leads into the other. Man, you're poor in spirit, all of a sudden you start to see things about God where you realize, man, I want to do better, and you mourn over that. And today, the scripture is talking about blessed are the meek in spirit. So when we look at this aspect and even the Beatitudes, Jesus starts talking about the inside of a person, the spiritual progress, the spiritual prosperity inside of a person. He sums it all up with this word, you're blessed. You're blessed. I like saying that word blessed means your life's going to work out. And so when we look here, we're dealing with that aspect and the beautiful thing of what God is doing in our lives. The aspect being of meek spirit, you can see on your notes, characteristics of a meek spirit, trusting in God so much that we refuse to manipulate circumstances and control people for our gain. I'm just going to throw that out there. I want to just present that to you. Meekness, another way, simply put, is, man, you've got power, you can wield it, but you opt not to. So it's controlled power. Another form of meek would be humility or gentleness. Some translations use both of those words. But we see here in the New King James, it says, blessed are the meek. Happy are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I want to just say, too, one of the things about having that meek or humble spirit about you is that it opens up things that you may not otherwise actually receive. Jesus is saying, man, you're going to inherit things on this earth. I mean, wouldn't it be great? We don't have to really wait for glory. We don't have to wait for heaven. What would be one of those key areas? It'd be a meek attitude, a gentle approach. It's kind of like this. An inheritance, when it says here, an inheritance, what is that? Well, simply, basically, it's something that you and I can't earn, but we receive upon reason of a relationship with that person. So oftentimes an inheritance is passed along when somebody dies. We can say this, that Jesus definitely died for the world, for people. You know that. He died for people. He didn't die for critters. He didn't die for angels. He died for you. Therefore, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died to open up a tremendous treasure trove of blessings. This Bible, we like to say, is a book of promises. I like to describe it as God's love letters to you. I hope you get into it. You could sure find out a lot of the heart, passion of God for you. But when we see here that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, it's like a chess game. Now the move is yours. How do we access those things? Well, maintaining a humble spirit, a spirit that says, Lord, I need you. I desire those things that you have. Now, it's interesting to note, too, how the world perceives things of a person who would say, well, they're meek or they're humble. The world would like to say, if you're meek or humble, you're actually weak and dumb. But there's a tremendous power and a grace that comes when a person realizes the power they have as a person, let alone the power they have, especially as a Christian. You all wield a lot of power. Matter of fact, most of that could come by reason of what you say. You can build a person up or literally destroy them for months, maybe years, by what you also say. Maybe what you withhold. There's oftentimes I'll have young adults that'll say, I just wish my parents would have told me they loved me. I've never heard that from my father. Can you imagine? Not what we said, but what we withheld. Great power, even in the spoken word. Therefore, we have that kind of power. But how about as a believer in God? What is available? Jesus says, the best way I can tell you, blessed, happy are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There are things that are coming your way if you will have the attitude that will access those things as you approach Almighty God. Now, I like the fact how that Moses actually writes about himself. I think it's kind of funny, but Moses says he was the most meek man or the most humble man in all the earth. Have you ever seen that in Numbers 12:3? You may want to write that down. Let me read that to you. In Numbers 12:3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth." Now, isn't that great? Now, God used Moses to write the first five books of the Bible. Wouldn't it be, hey, God, can I write this about myself? I'm the most humble man in all the earth. And I'm proud of it. I just thought I'd write it in there. But I believe he was. Talk about a man that wielded authority, moving over 2 million people out of bondage into a land of promise. People that complained, that's a hard fact. But he did it. So even though Scripture was accurate in saying he was the most humble man ever, man, look what he accomplished. So to say a person's humble or that they're meek never should be viewed as something that is a mindless little weak element. It's actually great strength and authority. And Jesus says that person's a happy person because I'm going to bring things upon them on this planet. They're going to inherit on this planet. There's been times, and I remember one particular area, saying, "Lord, I need to hear from you. Oh, Lord, can you speak to me?" And this is what I got from the Lord. "Paul, you're too proud for me to move through you in this situation." That was it. And I said, did I hear right? Now, I recognize, I think the element of pride resurrects itself often in a person's life. You might find it whenever somebody offends you, right? Right away, it's like, what? But I remember how the Lord says, it's your pride that keeps me back from working through you in this situation. And that was the word I got. So it was really this, "Paul, if you want my help, then get out of the way. Get out of the way so that I can work." I was wanting him to validate and rubber stamp what I'm doing. Have you ever been there? In other words, that kind of thing like, I think I'm going to get forgiveness rather than permission. Let's do this and see if God permits. So when we take a look at the importance of watching out, our attitude or our response is so important. So when we look at our notes, how do we develop a meek spirit? Let me just offer three areas that I think have helped me. Because Jesus says the happy person is the meek person or the humble person. Number one on your notes, place your identity in Jesus Christ alone. When we look here at Colossians 3:3 in your scripture, it says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Colossians 3:3. Man, the old Paul Harmon is out of there. But to find my identity in Christ is so important. Why? Well, if I start to place my identity in anything else, man, I get railroaded, I get blindsided, I get disrupted, I can to get upset. So if a person, for example, finds their identity in money, there's never enough money. They're never quite satisfied. If a person wants to find their identity in just always winning, you'll never get a real confession that maybe they may have made a mistake. Their identity is in those areas of wanting to acquire. If a person says, "My identity is in that person," they'll never be free. There's something about placing your identity in Jesus Christ alone, and that's been a process of a lifestyle for me. When I recognize that if somebody were going to write something about you, a paragraph about you, what would they describe about you? What would they put down? I've certainly done plenty of funerals. Some have been really outstanding lives. Others, they were looking for something to validate their existence. When we take a look, what would it be that we'd say, this is my identity? Wouldn't it be great that somewhere along the line we said, man, I'm okay sharing who I am, and it's all about Jesus. Wow. I like Galatians 2:20. That's where the Apostle Paul says, man, says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a guy Paul was. To find your identity. In other words, do you know what Jesus has put in the Word for you? The truest thing about you is what God says about you. But if you let somebody describe who you are to you, it could be quite confusing. See, God has written some things about you and who you are. To find your identity in Jesus is very freeing. Dear parents, grandparents, wouldn't it be great that we help our children, our young adults, to grow up and to recognize their identity in Jesus, who they are? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What would we want our students, our family members to say this is what they're growing to grow up to become? This is their identity. It's really going to be up to that parental or that teacher or that instructor. We have a great program going on this Wednesday at Love and Respect for the Family, and I'm so proud of really Nathan and Stephanie Hanning. I would encourage you, it's just for 3 Wednesdays in a row. That's our summer breakout, man. I would get in there. It's phenomenal. When parents just say, I want to make sure my child doesn't swing one way or the other, saying their identity is in that industry or that sporting event, those are all good. But what happens if they lose their identity in Jesus? And somewhere along the line, they may do not maintain a meek or humble spirit. They may not really receive the inheritance that God has for them. Therefore, it's important. People pursuing the Lord that way. Lord, we want our identity in you. Number 2, learn to be a person of worship. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Scripture says this, that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the Lord is in this room right now. How do you know he's in here? Well, first by faith and what the Word says. But secondly, a lot of times you can sense when the Lord is here. Kind of like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see when it's a windy day because things start moving in the palm trees or clutter gets blown across the street. It must be a windy day. So with that, same with God. When God starts to move and learn to be a person of worship. One of the things that's so valuable is to remember our awe of God. When a person loses their awe of God, so goes their meek approach to the Lord, their humility toward the Lord. So when we remind ourselves, let's never lose our awe of God. Recognizing what Scripture says, how he is the creator of everything. I cite Psalm 96, verse 5. I love that. Where it says so clearly, for all the gods, little g, are of the people, are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Man, the one you and I sung to, talked about, he made everything. Matter of fact, he made you. So to lose our awe of God would really diminish the impact of maintaining a meek spirit, thereby maybe not inheriting those things God has for you on this earth. Lord, I'd like to experience that. How can I access that? I know you have secured things through the cross and resurrection for me, but what else? It's that meek approach to the Lord. Number 3, maintain a lifestyle of confession and repentance. Now, I know that may sound a little bit redundant because we were talking a little bit about that last week. But when we talk about confession, talking about confessing that God's way is the right way, man, that's powerful. When you come along and say, Lord, I'm just going to tell you once again, I'm here to pray and to pursue you because I know your way, though I may not know it today, your way is the right way. And that's profound. Confession and repentance. And repentance is to agree to go the way that God says is the right way. First, you confess, man, Lord, you have your act together, don't you? And I seem to be going another way, so I'm going to repent, turn around, and go the right way. To maintain a lifestyle of that maintains a lifestyle of a meekness and approach to God. And happy are you when you go and approach God in that fashion. What a profound and significant impact that is. I'd like you to find your Bible, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's very close to the book of Revelation. You can see the notation there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through verse 7. In 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with what? Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I want to kind of button tie this message with this. Isn't it interesting that the word of the Lord is saying, be clothed with humility, not only for each other, but especially approaching the Lord. God resists the proud. In other words, a person who is proud, don't expect anything from the Lord. But a person who is humble, God gives grace. I've seen that. I've experienced both extremes. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we humble ourselves? Verse 6 says, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God has a plan to bring us close to him. The first plan, plan A, is through humiliation. That's never fun. But I've often found when I'm humiliated, I'm extremely humble, extremely vulnerable. I'm flat embarrassed. But there's a grace that comes. I like plan B better. That's where I humble myself. I humble myself. Where I come and just say, Lord, I want my identity in you. Started to paint different images and pursuits, but Lord, I want what you want. I want to really conduct the affairs of my life that's pleasing to you. And that, Lord, you would help me to constantly be a person of worship. I recognize there's a great God in heaven who loves me. And that, Lord, when you start to reveal your plan for me, I'm ready to confess your way is the right way. That I will turn my life around. That's tremendous humility. And then so doing, I would just guarantee tremendous breakthroughs for you who are listening to me and you who are listening online. Great breakthroughs that come. Because Jesus said that. Happy person is a meek person because they're going to inherit the earth. God has things for you. When he brings it to you, it's going to be his doing. You can fashion those things of your own doing. I've fashioned my own breakthroughs, even secured some of my own prosperity. But you know, it didn't quite taste so good. It didn't last as long. It's kind of like the devil tempting Jesus three times when he said, if you are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread, instant gratification. If you are, why don't you just bow to me and I'll give you the whole kingdom. Everything you see, instant fulfillment. Man, you'll be a big shot. Just go ahead and lay it out here. But Jesus knew better. He was on assignment by God. Some of us may have not really waited patiently for the direction that the Lord has for you and did your own breakthrough only to find it really didn't taste so good. And it didn't have the long-lasting effect that you wanted with that person, in that situation, in that area of industry, maybe even your pursuit with Jesus. That God says, you're going to be happy with a meek approach, humble approach, coming to me. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Shall we do that? Father, we want to just thank you right now. Lord, as we just take this occasion, we acknowledge, Lord, there are things that we check in from time to time and say, Lord, we really do need your help now. We'd love to have a lifestyle that just walks humbly with the Lord. We like that in Micah 6:8. What you've desired, O man, for us, do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. Lord, would you just speak those things that we need to reassure our own hearts? I want to invite you as well, while your eyes are closed, if you recognize how you're in need to just make your life more accessible in a humble approach toward the Lord, in order for him to give you breakthrough here on this earth. You're ready to say, Lord, I need to say to you, Lord, I want to be that man, that woman that pursues you in a fashion that is respectful, that is honoring, keeping my heart humble before you. You know everything. Would you stand to your feet and remain standing? Just say, Lord, this is me. I want to pray for you. I'm believing that those things that have not come through for you yet will come through. So you're standing and you're saying with me, Lord, maintain my humble heart and my approach to you. And that, Lord, your word says, I'll inherit the earth. There are some things that you haven't secured yet. You may be going about it on your own volition, maybe your own strength, but today you hear the voice of the Lord saying, if you'll allow me, if you're willing to let me, if you'll humbly pursue me, I will give you an inheritance that you haven't experienced yet. Thank you. Thank you for standing. Anyone else care to join them? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else care to join them? Okay, thank you. I think there's a great breakthrough in confession. Remember, confession, then repentance. Lord, thank you. Don't hold back. If you feel that need to stand up, we're not here to please anybody else except an audience of one. But Lord, I want to just thank you. You know our hearts. You know everything. And you know the future. And that, Lord, your ability to communicate right where we live. Lord, we humble ourselves to say, Almighty God, you are God, we're not. And we know and confess you know how to deal with our life much better than we do. But Lord, wash us clean of those times that we feel you may have bailed on us or possibly don't come through for us quick enough. Lord, we present our hearts contrite, broken, to say, oh Lord, we know your way is the best way. Do a miracle now. We're standing for the sake of your kingdom. We want to enter that kingdom. We want to enter the area and conquer and to experience the miracle power of you, Almighty God. How we love you and we thank you, O Lord, for the grace right now. And where there are lies that would come upon us and say that God will not come through, that people have disappointed us and even faced the terrible feelings of rejection, we command those lies to be gone in Jesus' name, now be gone. And that, Lord, you would start by opening up heaven so we could hear your voice. You are the gentle shepherd. You're going to open those doors and lead us to fertile pastures. You're going to allow us to experience things that we have not experienced before. And it's going to come so sovereignly, so perfectly, so completely, we will know it's your doing. And we're going to be willing to give you all the credit because we're worshipers. We're willing to say, Lord, we want you to glean all the credit. So, Lord, thank you. You're the one that says, cast all your cares upon you because you care for us. Thank you for a caring God full of compassion. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Can we just thank the Lord?
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.